Blog Talk Radio. This is the Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. Stay with us as we bring honor and glory to Jesus, our Savior, Deliverer, and Healer.
Good morning and welcome to the Healing Light Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Ken Burrow. Definitely appreciate you joining us this morning. I also definitely appreciate our guest that we have today, Dr. James Kithcart, prophet, apostle, awesome man of God, and my little brother. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
Good, Bishop. How you doing, big brother?
I'm doing great, man. Healthy, happy, terrific. Can't complain any way, shape, manner, or form. Blessed going in, blessed going out. But thanks for asking.
Amen. Father, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you for this opportunity to minister to your people, to dialogue with my big brother. And we know the iron sharpens iron, but we ask, Father, as we decrease, that the word would go out and the message would go out, not a preaching, not a sermon, but just words of encouragement in this time
of
season. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for
your
presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And his presence has been pretty strong here already this morning before we even got on the air. So I believe it's going to be a good show. In fact, I know it is. Because of Doc here, let me ask you: how have you been doing through all this crazy stuff that's going on in the world today?
I have been through. Thank you for asking. I have experienced a greater drawing closer to the Lord in this experience. And what happened was really prior to any of this, I would say in mid-October, I sensed the Lord just saying, come closer, and pull away from everything and draw closer. And so you never question when you hear and sense the Lord telling you to draw closer, turn away from things, prioritize your life, don't give attention to certain things. And I'm not talking about sin. I'm just saying it's like fine-tuning and focusing and zero you in on his word, not knowing the extent of what would take place. But there was a word spoken in October that the Lord gave me to post, and it was dealing with a certain calamity and then unrest that would take place after the calamity. And I would have to say it was a forewarning of the things to come with, you know, people are, there's an unrest right now. And we haven't gotten to the worst of it when it comes to the shortage of food and not able to spend money and whatnot. There's going to be some unrest, but there's a complete peace I have in the midst of this due to knowing that the Father spoke to me, and he didn't speak to me, and it's just that I will be secure, my household would be secure, but I can open my mouth and get this word out to the masses that the Lord is a very present help. He
yes.
said in Exodus 33:14, and he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. So if his presence is with me and he will give me rest and I can sense his presence, then my position and my posture is a posture of rest, because I know that he's with me. And if he's with me, he's already worked my life out before the foundation of the world. He's already worked every situation. He's already orchestrated every instance of my life. Past, present, future has already been worked out. And as long as I can sense his presence, I will know that I'm in his will. If I'm in his will, then whatever happens, it has to go through my God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yesterday I had done I have a YouTube channel besides Blog Talk Radio and Roku TV. You can hear me okay?
Loud and clear.
Good. I did a little adjustments there, and I wanted to make sure you could stay hear me. Get rid of that echo. So I was getting an echo, and it's hard to talk when you're 1 second behind yourself. Nonetheless, yesterday's program was about fear and the coronavirus. You know, there are a lot of people, unfortunately, walking around, and I'm talking about Christians now, who are walking around in fear over this thing. And, you know, I've been told that in the Bible, do not fear is mentioned 365 times. That's one for every day, you know.
Yes,
and God tells us not to fear. In Timothy 1:7, I'm paraphrasing, but it says, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of love and power and a sound mind.
Yes.
We're not supposed to fear things. When we are in it, as you were saying, when we have his presence on us, there is nothing to fear at all.
That's right.
And I just want to encourage those who are listening today to, you know, draw closer to God. He'll draw closer to you. And do not fear. You know, Psalms 91 is across the board. For decades I've been telling people I'm a Psalms 91 man. And there's a reason I say that, because for decades God has prevented things from hurting me. God has, you know, I don't even get mosquito bit normally. You know, I think the last time I got mosquito bit was back when I had to bury my sister up in Michigan. Why? Because that pestilence can't touch me. You know, John Lake, the great man of God, back in 1908 to 1913, was in Africa during the bubonic plague, and he never got sick. And it confused the team of doctors that came there. They didn't understand. And they even asked him, he said, why aren't you getting sick? And he says, because I believe in the God of life, not the God of death. I believe in the God who brings protection. And they actually took bubonic plague cells and they put it in John Lake's hand. And you know what happened? Those cells died immediately. Yeah, immediately gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of God that we serve. And that's the kind of God that will protect. If he will protect John Lake, he'll protect us. Amen?
Amen. Well, you know, big brother, when Moses had taken the people through the wilderness and he finally got to his place of when he was leading the people, he shared with Jethro. Jethro came to Moses, and Moses was able to tell him all of the things that the Lord had done, you know, for the people. And while he was talking, now this Jethro was a man of God, okay? He was a priest.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the father-in-law of Moses. And the Bible says it in, I think it's Exodus around 18th chapter, that after Moses had talked to Jethro and told him about all the things God did and how God had hardened Pharaoh's heart and all the plagues that came against Pharaoh, you know, because they didn't have social media back then. So, you know, the news didn't travel like it does now. And so when Jethro heard about all the things the Lord had done, the Bible says that Jethro spoke to Moses and says, now I believe that the God we serve is greater than all the other gods. I want to say that's around Exodus 18, verse 11.
Okay.
Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods because he is, this affair, they dealt arrogantly with people. And Jethro and Moses were standing there in awe of God. And it was almost as if Jethro had a revelation that God is exactly who he said he is. And he
Amen.
Does exactly what he said he would do. And he doesn't, he's not a man that he shall lie, nor a son of man that he shall repent. He never has to repent of what he says. When he says a thing, he means it. And when he says, like in Psalms 37:5, it says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth his righteousness as light and your justice as noonday. In other words, he's going to bring to light his faithfulness to you. Your trust in him, he brings his faithfulness to light before the unbelievers. It's for the world to see. You know, many Christians are in this posture right now where they're on social media, they're encouraging people. And I want to say something. You don't need a title to encourage anybody. You need the Holy Spirit and you need God. And you need his salvation through Christ Jesus. And through that salvation in Christ Jesus, there's a boldness that comes over you. And so you don't need ministers training. And you don't have to go through 18 years of school of the Bible and all that. You can tell people, hey, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, and it will touch somebody. You can tell people, I'm not worried about tomorrow. Tomorrow's in God's hands. I'm not concerned with the pestilence. I'm not concerned with viruses. I'm not concerned with sicknesses. I pay attention so that I can adhere to what is being said. But at the end of the day, my faith is in the God which is spirit and the one that I worship in spirit and in truth, according to John 4:24. I worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and the truth of the word is, and the truth is, he will never leave me nor forsake me. So if that's what I stand on and that's what I live by, then whatever's happening in the world, it's insignificant to me in a position of I'm in Christ. The Bible says, then the Bible says in Romans, the 6th chapter, around 1 through 3, when we go down into the watery grave, when we come up in Christ. So I've been buried as James, and I have been resurrected in Christ, which means anything that goes on in this world, it has to go through Christ. It doesn't come to me. It goes through Christ before it gets to me. And if it gets to me, then I'm built for it. I'm built for this. I'm built for whatever comes, whatever plagues, whatever virus, whatever calamities. I'm built for this as a child of God. You are built for this. And I'm telling people out here, the masses of people that are listening, you are built for what's going on right now. You are
Amen.
Equipped for what we're going through in this world. You have been set apart for such a time as this. And if you're still here and you have your cognizant memory and you can just say, Lord, thank you. If you can even just say hallelujah, you will know that you will endure this thing. Either like the Hebrew boys, big brother, they said either our Lord will deliver us out of the fiery furnace or he won't. But we will not bow down to an image. Well, I won't bow down to fear. I
Come
won't
on.
Bow down to panic. I will not bow down to anxiety. I will not bow down to panic attacks. Because the fact of the matter is, either the Lord will bring me through this thing or he won't. But I will not bow down. The only one that I will bow down to is Christ Jesus, my Lord and Savior.
Come
and
on.
That's inhabit the presence of the Lord, and you he abides with you, and you abide with him in his presence. I'm going to lay low so my big brother can talk. I'm sorry about that.
Amen and amen. Come on, preach it, son.
Amen.
You're telling the truth. Keep going.
This is what we stand on. This is what we live by, and this is considered foolishness to wise men. When they hear us boasting on the Lord, when they hear us talking about I'm covered in the blood of Jesus, when they hear us say I'm sealed in the Holy Spirit, they're like, you're not sealed in the Holy Spirit. You have some clothes on and you have a hat on. What are you talking about? It's supernatural. I'm a supernatural being. My soul is supernatural because I'm saved. The shell of what I live in is called a body. This thing came from the dirt, and it's going back to the dirt. I'm not
That's
concerned
right.
about this outer shell. I'm concerned about my soul, and my soul is anchored in the Lord. And when your soul is anchored in the Lord, it means that wherever the Lord goes and wherever the Lord rests, wherever the Lord is, that's where my soul is. And so I can't have fear. I can't entertain fear. I can't entertain drama. I can't entertain fake news. I can't entertain the different attacks that come over the airwaves and over the television. I can't entertain when I see people panicking. I went to the store yesterday to pick up a few items, and you could see the panic on people, and everybody was just in fear, grabbing things and running, racing through the store in a hurry, and I just cruised through there. And the Lord just let me, he just said, just pray. Just pray. Release a prayer even in here. Release a prayer in the store that my peace will abide with these people. That's
Amen.
My position, is to make sure that if I'm carrying and walking in the presence of the Lord, then that means anywhere I go, his presence should be the preeminent. It should be his permeating spirit and presence near me. And I don't need somebody coming to me and say, man, I felt God when you came by. I'd rather them go somewhere and get in the car and say, God, thank you, because I sensed your presence. You know, I don't
Amen.
Want the attention because it's not me. It's God. So I give yep. God the glory. I make sure I give him the praise. And I'll tell you the secret to ministry. When you give God the glory and when you point people to Christ, he'll abide with you. If you point
so
people
true.
To yourself, they'll get you. If you point people to Christ, they'll get the glory. They'll get his presence. They'll get him, a relationship with him. I want to tell you real calm and cool right now. I want people to get a relationship with Christ. I
Come
want
on.
You to get a relationship with Christ. I don't want you to get a
yes.
relationship with gods and other gods and deities. I want you to get a relationship with the creator of this universe. I want you to get a relationship with the Christ that died on the cross. He took on the sins of the world. He bore stripes on his back, and the stripes that he bore on his back, they cover every category of sicknesses and diseases. I really sense this right now, Ken. I'm touching and agreeing with you, Ken, because your healing anointing is pouring out over the airway right now. I don't know who's getting healed right now, but I see tumors drying up. I see I see two.
Come on now.
See,
Holy Ghost is hitting me. Come on.
Drying up right now. I see them drying
Thank
up.
You,
I see where there was concerns with tumors in the body, and I see tumors. They're drying. They're being dried up right now. And the Lord said, the reason why I'm doing it now is because your faith, you had the faith to even get on the airway, and I'm healing you this day. I see
Thank
that
you,
right
Lord
now.
Jesus.
Going into the mind, I'm going into the brain, and where there's been a brain activity that hasn't been strong, functioning brain activity, I go back into the brain, and I'm not asking for God to heal that brain and those areas of the cerebellum and the stem of the brain. I'm asking for creative miracles for brand new. I stretch my hands
Amen.
Out. I decree and declare creative miracles for brand new creative miracles for brain activity, functioning brain activity that sends signals to your limbs and where there was numbness and where there was lack of use in certain parts, paralysis in the body. I decree and declare, I speak now, creative miracles for divine healing this day. I don't know who you are. Get up out of that wheelchair and begin to walk. I don't know who you are. With the numbness that's been in your body and the feet area and the extremities of your hands, but there's sensation coming back into your hands right now. And for that, God, I give you the glory. I give you the honor. I give you the praise. I go into the heart cavity where the pericardial sac is. I go into the chambers of the heart, and I clear out blockages of the heart. I send fresh blood out to the lungs so they can be oxygenated by the lungs, that the lungs are functioning properly. They oxygenate the blood and send the blood out throughout the extremities of the body. I decree and declare circulation will function as it's designed to function. I decree and declare in the name of Jesus. Let it flow
yes,
now.
Lord.
Let the healing flow now. I decree and declare it. Let it flow. Let the blood flow all the way down to the extremities and circulate back to the heart, to the chambers that they oxygenate. Let the old blood be transitioned to new blood and oxygenated and function and transition back out to the body. I decree it and declare it in the name of Jesus. I go into sinews, ligaments, tendons, muscles, joints, bones that have been broken, limbs that have been crippled, limbs that have
Jesus.
Been injured and did not heal right.
Oh,
I go into them
Jesus.
Now. And I reset bones into their proper order. I reset ligaments and tendons into their proper order. I reset organs to function in their proper order. Through
yes,
creative
Lord.
Miracles this day, I go into hearts, livers, kidneys, spleens, gallbladders, kidneys, livers, pancreas. I go into these areas and command, not ask, not beg, but command creative miracles, and that you will function with creative miracles, brand new functioning organs this day. I touch and agree with my big brother Ken by faith, and we decree healing miracles are manifesting right
yes.
now. It's in your
yes.
presence. There's a fullness of joy. In your presence, we have liberty. In your presence, we have access to an open heaven. And that can decree and declare, as I sense an open heaven, that as we commit our ways to the Lord, we trust him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as light and your justice as noonday. I believe that if my people are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, they will heal from heaven, and he will forgive their sin and heal their land. I believe
Amen.
By faith, for Christ has entered not only holy places made with hands, which are copies of true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Jesus is interceding on our behalf. He's in the presence of God, and he hears our petition. He hears our cries. He hears our prayers, and he is interceding for us. And I believe by faith that miracles are taking place as we speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Be glorified.
And amen.
Lord.
And amen.
Be glorified.
You know, for lack of a better word, I was about to say that Jesus is doing a new thing. I want to change that because I don't really believe it's a new thing. I just believe it's different than what many of us have experienced. I'm thankful that God has given gifts of healing, and all honor and glory goes to Jesus. You mentioned a while ago that some people want to take that glory on themselves, and I don't understand that kind of thinking. Personally, I would be too afraid to do that because I know my God is a jealous God and that all glory and honor belong to Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. But what I have been noticing, especially over the last couple of months, in fact, the last three phone calls that I have made with people who have asked to be healed, is he does it before we even ask. It is amazing to me, James. I don't even, all we have to do is start talking about Jesus and bing, bang, boom, pains are going away. Things are coming back into place that weren't into place. I had a woman just the other day, her hearing, she had bad hearing. And without prayer, bam, her hearing comes back. I mean, this amazes me. It absolutely amazes me because I guess I'm an old guy, but I always did things in steps. You know, there was a methodology of what I was doing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And all that's just, you know, it's blown out. I mean, you don't have to do any of those things anymore because Jesus Christ is going to return very, very soon, sooner than most people think. But he also is wanting us to let the world know that he is alive and he is a healer and he is the living Son of God and he is our salvation. I like calling it show and tell, but my whole point in what I'm trying to say here, James, is the phone calls are changing. You know, I used to call up and take the authority and command things to happen, and now I don't even have to say much of anything. He's just doing it. And that blows me away. What an awesome, amazing, healing God we serve. It blows me away.
I'm laughing, Ken, because I just felt another surge of the anointing. I don't know what's going on. I really don't know what's going on. And I say that with
I'm getting it too.
Respect to God. But I just sense this. My hands are absolutely on fire. My hands are on fire. And I don't want to play around with this type of anointing. I don't want to play around with God's people. Isaiah 55 and 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And he's near. He's near. And he's making his presence known. Father, I go into the atmospheres, the stratospheres,
yes,
the hemispheres, the ionospheres. I go out into these areas of the spirit, Father, out to the universal realms of the spirit. And as of this instant, Father, I stretch out my hands and stand in the gap for the universe.
Yes, Lord.
I stand in the gap for the universe, Lord. I'm praying now, Father. I'm asking for universal healing. I'm asking for global healing. I'm asking for universal power, universal healing manifest for your people. Universal miracles begin to manifest in this world. Universal manifestation of your glory in this world. I decree and declare, Father, that this would be a time and a season where your light will shine, your glory will be revealed, your name will be lifted on high, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Lord, I don't know the day of your coming. No man knows the day of your coming. But I know, Father, as long as I'm here and as long as there's air in my lungs, there's breath in me, and there's an ability to speak or teach or push something out on the social media, I'm going to proclaim that Christ Jesus is Lord and that you are a very present help. And I'm declaring supernatural miracles in manifestation this day. Every need being met, Father, supernatural needs being met as of this instant, supernatural increase, supernatural increase of what you have in your cupboards, your storage, your food supplies, that it will supernaturally be increased, supernatural. I can't explain
it.
Just like the fish and the five loaves, that there will be increase, there will be supernatural increase, and what was supposed to be lacking will now be in abundance. And as you have abundance, you will give out to others, and you will be a lender and not a borrower. I decree this and declare this, especially for the children of God. I decree and declare that you will put your trust in him. You will put your hope in the Lord. You will cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. And I decree this. I declare this. While we are in the presence of the Lord, I want you to just reach out and grab in the spirit. Take what belongs to you. Take back your joy. Take back your peace. Take back your hope. Take back your love. Take back your family. Take back your marriage. Take back your finances. Take back your businesses. Take back your health. Take it back. It belongs to you. We've entered into the enemy's camp, and we're taking back what was stolen from us. Some of us gave it away, and we're taking it back by force. The kingdom suffered violence, and the violence take it by force. We're going in,
yes, sir.
We're taking back what belongs to us. I decree it and declare it in Jesus' name. James 4:8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We cannot be double-minded in this season. We have to be one-minded. Our focus is on Christ. Our focus is on that relationship with God. And while we have that relationship with God, you will begin to sense his presence. I can't feel his presence because supernatural does not need to feel, but supernatural can sense. I can sense the presence of God. I can sense that God has my back. I can sense that God is with me. I can sense that he never leaves me nor forsakes me. I can sense when I wake up in the morning that no virus, no sickness, no disease. I might have the symptoms, but I don't have the disease. I've been diagnosed with a whole bunch of things, and I have the symptoms for them, but I don't have the disease. My body might have the disease, but the spirit of who I am is already healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ, and that's why I do what I do for the Lord. And as long as I'm here, I will do what God has called me to do, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. Amen.
Amen and amen. I don't know, James, if it's somebody that's listening right now or if it's somebody that's going to be listening here in the near future. But as you were praying a little while ago, I got a hip pain. It's the left hip, right on the hip bone is where that pain is. I'd say on a scale of 1 to 10, it's probably between a 5 and a 7. And right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I take the authority that he has given all of us, but I step into that authority and I speak to that hip pain right now. You must leave that body now. You have no right to put that person in pain. Where the Bible says on earth, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's no hip pain in heaven. God does not want you in pain. So pain, you leave that person now in Jesus' name. I command it. I ain't asking you. I'm telling you to go. And you must comply to the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. Hey, there it goes.
Yes, that's my father-in-law.
It's about a two. Is it who? Your father-in-law?
My father-in-law, hip pain. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hip pain.
Well, you're going to check with him later, and it's going to be gone. Oh, yeah.
I believe that.
Holy Ghost just jumped on me.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm getting tinglies on my tinglies.
Thank you, Jesus.
Goosebumps on my goosebumps. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
It's in his presence. We give you glory. We give you praise. And we give you honor, Lord. We praise you.
Yep, it's going.
We worship you. Yes.
It's about a one now. It is almost totally gone.
Thank you.
And it will be totally gone because the word of God will never return void. He has given us authority, people. He told us that we would do greater things than he would do.
Yes.
You have to start believing these things. We are in a time right now where we must believe every word in the Bible. We must believe and hold on to every word that Jesus spoke, because he did not speak them for no reason. He spoke them so that we would be able to do greater things, that we would be able to see the supernatural healing power of God, especially in these last days. That pain now is virtually gone. There's just a... I know it's kind of weird. I tell people all the time, I feel the pain, but when the pain leaves me, I know it's left the person, because it's like a word of knowledge, except I can physically feel it. But the good news is, if I physically feel it, I know that pain's on the way out. I know it. I don't doubt it in any way, shape, matter, or form, because right now, since May 5th of last year, we're at about 400 healing miracles within my own ministry, and there's people all over the country, all over the world, doing the same exact things.
Yes.
And it's time for all of us to pick up that mantle that Jesus laid on our shoulders and to start operating, and not only to be like, we're supposed to be like Christ, aren't we?
Yes.
And we better start acting like it. Then we have to start acting like it. You know, some people don't believe this stuff, James, but it doesn't matter if they believe it or not. I got 400 people who tell me that it's true. Amen.
Well, I'd rather believe, even the 400 people, I believe the word of God over the 400 people. So,
amen.
I thank God for their confirmation, but, at the end of the day, when he says things like, I'm going to the Father, Jesus says, I'm going to the Father, but I will leave you the Holy Spirit, and that greater works, you will do greater works. And if he says, like you just said earlier, greater works, if we're supposed to be doing greater works, why are we talking about God as if he's a God that we have to call and ask to do something, and then we have to wait for God to do it? Don't you think God is in us? He wants us to open our mouths and begin to call those things that are not as though they were. If we have been filled with the Spirit of God, why are we asking God questions? Didn't Jesus say greater works? If he said greater works, let's go do greater works. There should be manifestation at your job. And I'm not talking about manifestation of drama. There should be manifestation of God's presence at your job. People should see your light at your job and come to you in the midst of their crisis and say, I don't know how to address this, but like they used to tell me, you seem to be like a spiritual person, or there's like a light on you. So I just felt like I could come to you and tell you this. My mother is sick and this and that, and can you pray? And I would pray for people. I had no problem praying for anybody, but I would also pray for their souls because I love everybody, Kim.
Amen.
And I say that again.
I know that's true.
I love everybody. I even love my enemies. I love them. I care about their souls. Because if they hate me, I'm just one person. But I want them to meet the God in me. And when they meet the God in me, I know that one plants, another waters, and God gives the increase. And in due time and due season, that same person that hates me will be a person that falls in love with God. And that's what I'm concerned with in this day. I'm not concerned with anybody that's angry with me or dislike. Now, if I offend someone, I repent. I ask for forgiveness quickly. I do
this.
But I'm saying, if I'm offensive to you because I'm proclaiming that Christ Jesus is Lord, if you are offended by me because of my faith, it is what it is. Because I'm not going to back down ever. He's done too much. He's done too much. If the Lord never did anything else for me, if my breath stopped today, if my heart stopped beating today, I'm praising him all the way through. You get what I'm saying?
Amen.
I told somebody I get on the airplane, I travel, I touch the plane, I said, Lord, bless this flight. I'm going on another mission, and since I'm going on another mission, this plane has to reach its destination because I have work to do. And I said, when I get on the plane, they said, well, aren't you worried about if the plane crashes? I said, if the plane crashes, I'm going to recline my seat, I'm going to kick back, I'm going to lift my hands and begin to worship the Lord, because either I will be here or I will be with him. I told the guys at the border of Uganda, it was the border of Kenya and Uganda in 2001. I was traveling with Bishop Reeves and Teacher Hines, and we were going from Mombasa, Kenya, Kisumu, Kenya, into Uganda. It was a horrible, long drive in a cramped-up car, but when we got to the border, we got out, and we had to show our passports and identification. And that guy pointed his AK-47 at me. We were on our way to Soroti, Uganda to do some preaching for Bishop John Itu in Soroti, Uganda. And the guard pointed his AK-47 at me. And I said, look, I have been sent here by the Lord to preach in Soroti, Uganda. I said, Bishop Reeves and Teacher Hines, they're here. We have to preach a revival in here, but I'll make a deal with you. You let us go in here and preach. And once I finish preaching, I'll come back over here and then you can shoot me. But you can't shoot me until I finish preaching.
And that guy called
the supervisor out, and the supervisor came out and he says, What is it that you're doing? I said, we're here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the supervisor looked at his guard, he tapped the weapon, put it down, and he just pointed to the board and says, go.
You
Amen. Make a stand. If you make a stand, if you crumble before people, if you crumble before mankind, where is your God? But when you make a stand, you make a stand saying, either God will deliver me through this or he won't. But I've got an assignment and I've got things to do for the Lord. And as long as I'm here, I've got work to do for the Lord. So you have not given me the spirit of fear. You have given me love, power, and a sound mind. And let
That's
your
right.
will be done. That's when
That's
you
right.
begin to that's when you are wrapped in his presence. And when you are wrapped in his presence, you know that God is your weapon. He's, the word of God is your sword. You know that God's fierce now. Don't play around. God's fierce. He's loving, but he's a fierce God. And when he says he will fight your battles, I know that there were times when I saw people go through certain crises at work, and I said, let's just touch and agree. And we were touching and agreeing. And the next thing I know, that supervisor was gone. That supervisor was gone. Because
that's happened to me.
Put their hands and put their mouth. And the Bible says, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. I'm not talking about witchcraft because I don't practice witchcraft. I'm not
Come
talking
on.
About something demonic. I'm talking about a God that is a very present help in the time of trouble. He's a very present help. And what I'm trying to get across today is make God a very present help, even if you don't have anything going on. Have a relationship with the Lord. Talk to the Lord. I walk through the house sometimes, and I'm talking and holding a conversation, and my kids are looking at me like, what in the world is going on? I said, I'm just talking to God. And they're like, why? It's like you're talking to your best friend. I said, yeah, he's my friend.
Come on.
And I'm his friend. I talk to God like a friend. And it's with all
Amen.
Respect, but I talk to him like a child talking to a father. I talk to him with love. I tell him my good days. I tell him about my – I tell him everything about my life. And he knows anyway, but I talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because that transparency that I have with the Lord, that relationship that I have with God is a relationship letting me know that, yeah, sometimes he'll have to spank me. Sometimes he'll have to chasten me. But I tell you what, he's always reaching out to me. He's always loving me. Ken, let me say one thing, and I'll be quiet. I promise to behave. You know, when the prodigal son went out and he experienced life outside the parameters of his father's care, and he went and slept with pigs and ate slop and without just spending money on whoredom and all that stuff that he did, the Bible says that when he came back and he was on the horizon, his father saw him on the horizon and he prepared the meal. He prepared the best and he prepared, got a robe for him. He got a ring and he got everything prepared for his son. And the father was extremely excited, even though his oldest brother was absolutely furious that he was coming back because the oldest son wanted the inheritance. And so the Bible says that the father ran to the son and embraced him and kissed him and loved him when he came back. After all that he had done, a man, a human, ran and embraced his son. Now, we're limited in our capacity to love. We're limited in our capacity for compassion. We are limited in our compassion to exhibit certain things. But can you imagine if a man ran after his son, who had been out there in the muck, in the mire, in sin, and he still embraced him and gave him his best? Can you imagine how the Lord is just standing there with him, he's racing after us with his arms stretched wide open, just saying, come back, come back, come home. I know you're dirty. I know you did this. I don't care. I love you. I created you. I want you back. And that's what I sense today, is that the Lord's just saying, come back. Come back. Come as
yes.
you are. Don't worry about
yes.
it. Don't talk about what you did. I already know what you did. Just come to me. and I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will always be with you, even until the end. And we already know that eternity has no end. Amen. I promise
you. Amen.
Quiet.
You know, one of the things, I have not always been the greatest person in the world. All right. I've not always been a strong follower of Jesus Christ. I had my days that I don't spend much time thinking about him because it's in the past. But the Bible says that he knew us before the foundations of the earth were set into place. He knows you, and he has a calling. He's chosen you. He said, I choose you, and he chose you. And here's the wonderful thing, friends. The Bible also says that the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. He does not change his mind about you. I've always said, if you feel distance from God, guess who moved? It wasn't him. And he is calling people back. It is time now to rededicate yourself to Jesus. And I have to do this because I do it in each and every show. If you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, all you have to do is ask him to come into your heart. And he'll do it. We're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. But if we confess our sins and we believe that Jesus died on that cross. 3 days later, he rose again, and he is now sitting at the right hand of his Father. All you have to do is say, Jesus, if you're real, come into my heart and prove it to me. And he's going to do it. So ask him today. And if you have fallen away from Jesus, return. Come back home. Time's running short, my friends. Heaven is real. Hell is real. But the point of the matter is, Jesus is real, and he will save you from your sins, and you can live with him eternally, or you can spend your eternity in the fire of hell. You know, it's a choice, and it's up to you. Also, we do have somebody that's been on hold here for quite a while. I want to give them an opportunity to speak. If you have something to say, go ahead and say it, but I'm going to put you on the air right now. And if you don't have anything to say, that's okay, too. God bless you. We're just glad that you're here listening this morning. So your last four digits of your phone number is 8040, and boy, he took off like there was no tomorrow. Some people get a little afraid of that, you know. Some don't want to get on the air, but that's okay. We do appreciate you listening, though, so thank you so very much. Running out of time very quickly here this morning. Once again, James, every time you're on this show, the time just flies by. I love you and appreciate you more than I can tell you. I love listening to the wisdom that comes out of your mouth. I love it. And I'm on the same page with you. That's what I really love.
Yeah.
We don't talk about these things beforehand, but we're on the same page. And that goes across the board. There are apostles and prophets that I know across this country. And those who are truly seeking after God, those who know that the honor and glory belong to Jesus, they're all on the same page. Yeah, you all don't even know each other. And I'll talk to this one and that one and this one and that one. And they're all saying the same things. And that is amazing.
Yeah.
But it is because the Holy Spirit is teaching us. The Holy Spirit is leading us. Our steps are ordered.
Yeah.
Because we are doing our best to be righteous in the sight of God. And I just am so, so thankful that I'm blessed to have you as a friend. And not just a guest on my radio show, but I consider you a very good friend. Like I said, you're my little brother. Even though you're a lot bigger than I am. But you're young,
yeah,
so I'm going to call you little boy.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's right. And you know what the exciting part about this whole thing is? And can I just take 1 minute and 52 seconds?
You can take it. We got 10 minutes. If you need to take up 10 minutes, go ahead.
Okay. Second Kings, the sixth chapter. Second Kings, sixth chapter. I'll start with verse 1. Now the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, see, the place where we dwell under your charge is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan and each of us get there a log and let us make a place for us to dwell there. And he said to them, and he answered and said, go. Then one said to him, please be pleased to go with us, your servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when he came to the Jordan, they were cutting down trees. And as one was cutting down a log, or cutting down a tree, his axe head fell into the water. And he cried out, oh, no, master, it was borrowed. Then the man of God said, where did it fall? When he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and threw it out to where the out into the water where the iron axe head had sunk. And the Bible says, when he threw it out there, it made the iron float. And he said, pick it up. So he reached out his hand and took it up. I want to talk to you real quick about restoration of a cutting edge ministry. Many people have walked away from their calling. Many people have seen their ministries go into a certain debacle. Many ministries have gone into like a crumbling resistance, opposition, negativity, life experiences, life crisis have taken over when certain adversities came against you. And I want to tell you today that if you experience those oppositions, those adversities, it's not because you're cursed. It's not because God has left you. It's because you're being proven. And since you've been proven, because you still say that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you said, God, I'll serve you all the days of my life in spite of what I'm going through. The prophet was told by the people, the place we are is too small. And they wanted to go build something bigger. And they wanted the prophet to go with them. So they asked him, would you go with them? He said, yes, okay, I'll go with you. And they, as they began to build, the iron axe head that they were using to cut the wood, the axe was chopping the wood, chopping trees down so they could build. But as he was swinging the iron axe head, it flew out into the Jordan. Anybody knows what the Jordan is like? The Jordan is a very dirty river. At the bottom, there's a lot of silt, a lot of mud. There's a lot of things down there. And the iron axe head, not only did it sink to the bottom, but it was covered over in the mud. And it's the same thing that's happened with certain people's ministries. There's certain things that have happened, certain life crises, and the very thing that you use to do what you're called to do, it seems as if it's been thrown out into the water and lost. It's been covered up with the mud, with the slander, with the accusations, with the negativity, with the gossip, with the rumors, with the murmuring about you. It's all covered up in the mud because mud has been thrown on you. But the Bible says that when these people, when this prophet said, where did it go? The prophet pointed out there in the water. The Bible says that he cut a stick off the tree. We are, he is the vine and we are the branches. So we've been chopped off and thrown out into the water. The Bible says the prophet made the iron axe head swim. It did not say God made the iron axe head swim. It says the stick that was thrown out into the water made the iron axe head float. And then the Bible says he told the prophet to reach down and pick it up. In other words, you've been thrown out there. Your ministry has been out there. It seems as if it had been buried in the muck and the mire of life. And now the Lord is saying that he has thrown you out there. And the thing that you thought you lost is now swimming back towards you. Your purpose is coming back to you. The anointing is coming back to you. Your ministry is coming back stronger. And all you have to do now is reach down and pick it up. I decree and declare that those that and lost what they're called to do, those that thought their gifts and callings have been lost forever, reach down and pick it up. Pick up what you're called to do. Pick up your purpose. Pick up your business. Pick up what God has called you to do. Pick up your marriage. Pick up your joy. Pick up your peace. Pick up the calling on your life and walk in the power of God. I decree and declare that this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That's a good word, brother. That's a good word, brother. Because it is time for, you know, it is time for, listen, God, if God knew you before the foundations of the earth was set in place, God knew what you were going to go through in this life. And he promised he'd never leave us or forsake us. And he also promises that the gifts and calling on your life are without repentance. They are irrevocable. He does not change his mind concerning you. But it's time for you to change your mind concerning him. If you have fallen away, come back, come back, come back. I plead in the name of Jesus, come back. You are needed for a time such as this. You truly are. The calling that is on your life is specific for you because only you can do the things that God has called you to do. Only James can do the things that God has called James to do, and only I can do the things that God has called me to do. Nobody else can do what I do. Nobody else can do what James does. He can reach certain people. I can reach certain people. And you can reach certain people that James and I can't reach. Am I making sense here? I sure hope so. So come on back.
Make a total.
You belong in the arms of Jesus. And he will never leave you or forsake you. I know I'm being a little redundant, but it's worth repeating. He is a God that loves you more than you can understand. And if he can have a prophet, have an iron axe head float up to the top of water and swim back to the shore, I'm pretty sure he can handle anything that's caused you problems. Amen?
That's right, good brother.
Wow.
I think that's what gives us the joy. That's what gives us that knowing in our spirit that the relationship we have is as you get into the Word of God. I really encourage people to pick up your Bible. You've got time away from work and shelter in place and quarantine and all these good things. Yeah, pick up the Word of God. If you don't have a Bible, go online. You can download a Bible on your app. I just recommend get into your Word, because the more Word you read, the more Word you get inside your body, inside your soul, the more Word is in your spirit, the more you quote back to your situation. When my circumstances come up, I quote the Word of God back at it. I don't cry. I don't waver. I don't roll around on the floor. I don't question. I just speak Word against my situation. And when I speak Word to my situation, Word has greater power over circumstances. Word
Amen.
Has greater power over situations. Word is greater over drama when you speak Word. And I don't go up to the person or I don't go to the people. Sometimes I can just sit here and speak into that atmosphere about the situation and watch the Word do what the Word does. And the Word never
Amen.
Returns more. It cannot fail. Amen.
Amen and amen. Wow, this hour went fast. It always goes fast when you're a guest. That's why I like having you as a guest, my little brother.
Time
flies by quickly. I like that.
Amen. 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 It's good
Heavenly
to be in the presence of the Lord.
I want to take a moment and thank Jesus for this opportunity to speak about our awesome, loving Savior, Healer, Creator and friend, Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, the time is running out. James, I'm going to have you back. You're such a blessing. And I know you'll come back. Otherwise, I'll drive down to Houston and snatch you up by your hair.
God's will be done.
Amen.
I want to thank you once again.
Agreement. Mm-hmm. All right. What?
I'm in agreement with you, big brother, that we're going to get broadcast out, and we're going to just be here to encourage God's people and the unbelievers that we will be here to help. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, once again, I want to thank you, but I got to close the show. God bless you. Yes. Listeners, thank you for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing. I'm Ken Burrow. This has been Blog Talk Radio.
You have been listening to The Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. prayerfully consider supporting this ministry. To donate, go to the Healing Light Radio Show on Facebook, where you will find a link to donate. Thanks for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing.